I hope you have your bucket of popcorn and your drink and your raisinettes at the ready, because today it's Movies on the Radio. Welcome. We're glad you're a part of the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. I love the movies. Always have, always will. For me, seeing it in a great theater, it doesn't matter to me if it's old or new, as long as it has the best sound system in the world, it's a magical experience. I know there are many of you who are just like me, because there are so many film festivals around nowadays for people like us. And I'm happy to be one of us. That's what we're talking about today, film festivals in our region. And as an unabashed fan, I'm happy we have so many great guests. Let's start the program today by introducing Patricia Clark, who's the producer of the 48-Hour Film Project in New Haven. Patricia, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
And Minerva Perez is joining us on the phone, the executive director of OLA of Eastern Long Island. OLA runs the Latino Film Festival of the Hamptons. Minerva, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Patricia, you have an incredibly interesting project in New Haven, which is part of an international project. Tell us about it.
Well, the 48-Hour Film Project is the longest-running timed film competition in the world. And as you said, it's in about 130 cities worldwide, but we run it in New Haven, but it's really the Connecticut branch, because we get teams of filmmakers from all over New England. It doesn't matter, wherever you want to come, as long as you sign up a team. And you sign up to make a 4 to 7 minute short film in 48 hours.
You do this all over 2 days.
Yes. So on the Friday night, you get a film genre kind of at random out of the hat, and you get assigned a specific character, prop, and line of dialogue that you must use. And then you're on the run from 7 p.m. Friday night till you hand it in 7 p.m. Sunday night.
How long have you been doing this?
This is year 9 that it's been here in Connecticut.
I have to ask if there are a lot of movies about zombies, because I got to figure that by the end of the 48 hours, most of the participants are zombies.
Most of the participants are at the end, but it's only a zombie movie if they get a horror genre.
And have any movies about zombies been done?
We did have a zombie one.
You did?
2 years ago. There was a Zombie Lover. That was the name of it.
Zombie Lover.
Yeah.
You never know where this conversation
is
going to go. How many participants do you have?
We range, but we're usually in the 30 to 40-ish amount of teams that do it.
Kids, teens, millennials, all over the place.
Huh? We actually have the youngest running 48er who leads a team, and she started leading it when she was 10. And
wow.
She's a SAG actress, and she's in charge of her whole team. So this is going to be her third year leading a team. So now she's 13. And it could be all the way up to senior citizens. Students, professionals.
She's 13, probably jaded by the whole process, the whole Hollywood scene at this point.
Pretty much.
Minerva, tell us about the Latino Film Festival of the Hamptons, please.
Sure. We started back in 2002. And this is all Spanish language film with English subtitles, focusing on our venues are on the east end of Long Island, usually iconic venues of the east end of Long Island, the five east end towns, East Hampton, Southampton, Riverhead, Southold, and not yet Shelter Island, but hopefully soon. And it's a way to show some amazing brand new films that folks might not get to see anywhere else, and also a way to bridge communities, both English and Spanish. But then also even Spanish language film enthusiasts from different countries will get different stories that they can learn.
So how long have you been doing this?
Since 2002, so we're going into our 16th year.
And how many participants do you usually have?
We've been expanding the venues, trying to do that in a reasonable context, because we are not a huge organization and we do other things as well. But last year we did have five venues. And it runs throughout one weekend, usually in November.
Hmm. How do you choose the movies that you show?
A combination of ways. We curate and we also accept submissions. And so we do it both ways. And sometimes, actually, we go out in search of films that we're learning about. There's a film from El Salvador that we had learned about through a board member, and it ended up being just a fantastic eerie kind of film, and we were able to show that last year.
Do you find that this inspires those who attend your festival to go out and make movies by themselves. You know, I'm thinking that you and Patricia could probably share some notes here.
I would love to do that. I'm excited by the platform and your approach, Patricia. So, yes, I'll be coming out to your neck of the woods sometime soon.
That sounds great.
Oh, we have a nice collaboration going on. Minerva, what's the reaction been like from those on the island? And do you attract anyone from Connecticut or from New York City? Do they come out for this festival?
They do come out. We don't really have maybe the greatest tracking system, but from Connecticut, we actually saw several folks from Ecuador come out to see a film that was made with the idea of professional filmmakers going into a certain area of Ecuador and then teaching and creating a team of brand new filmmakers to handle some of the tasks, and some not so, you know, small tasks in terms of actually making this film, also acting in the film. And that idea can sound sweet, but you might think, oh gosh, maybe that's not going to be a great film, but it was a great film. And so there were folks that participated that were filmmakers and friends of the filmmakers from Connecticut. So they had come out and they had spread the word a lot in Connecticut. So some folks came out from Connecticut, and some folks actually were able to see the film in Connecticut as well. So that was kind of a nice exchange to East End to Connecticut.
Minerva, before I forget, when does your film festival run?
It's running November 14, 15, and 16 this year.
Okay, so we have plenty of time, so we can talk before then and make sure that we get the word out about that. And the 48-hour film project runs when?
Our filming weekend is July 26th through 28th, and then we're screening on July 31st and perhaps August 1st if we need to at the Strand Theater in Seymour. And then we have our Best of and Awards night at the Bijou Theater in Bridgeport on August 23rd.
What is it about that about filmmaking that gets people so inspired?
It's an art. I mean, and I think it's an art that a lot of people don't realize, you know, is art. They, you know, painting and dance and music, but this is its own beautiful art form as well. And there's a lot of people that have to orchestrate it and work together to make a great finished product.
Have you made a film?
Have I? Yes. Yeah.
And what was it about?
Well, I've been a producer on a few films that were made in Connecticut. I was one of the producers on My Brother Jack, a film made here a couple years ago about a kind of tragic story of two brothers. And I've also been a producer on some documentary films in Connecticut. One big one was A Dog Named Gucci about animal abuse, and it kind of changed the laws.
Minerva, what about you? Have you made films?
I have. I've made some short film in festivals, and I also act. So I've been in films that are currently in festivals and also not any longer. So I do enjoy the storytelling aspect of it. And for us and the needs of our film festival is it's a way in. It's a way into the human experience that sometimes can just be the perfect entry point that gets past the politics. It gets past the divisive language, and it just tells a story. And suddenly, before you know it, that's what matters and not the rest of it.
Mm. And do you find more and more young filmmakers are coming up who are inspired by the works that, let's say, you're doing today?
We are trying to develop that, actually, which is why I really would love to see more of what Patricia is doing with her 48-hour film project, because we would like to see more storytelling coming from community members and families on the East End of Long Island who don't, people are not getting access to their stories in the way they should. And so it would be wonderful to use this as a medium that's not simply, not a soapbox, but actually a way to share some of the stories that are coming out of our community. And so we are hoping to move in that direction where we can get more young filmmakers encouraged and engaged.
Patricia, what do you need to make a movie?
Determination.
How about in terms of equipment, money, and so on?
Well, I mean, if you're... For the 48, you have to, it's whatever you make with your team. You're bringing your equipment, your cast and crew and everything. I mean, you can just make it with your cell phone if you want.
Mm.
Because
right away I'm thinking big cameras, lights, the whole bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you really want it to be a great finished product, you should have a nice camera or someone who really knows how to use any camera, as long as they know what they're doing, and someone who can work with lighting, and maybe it's someone who knows how to work with daylight. So you could do it as, you know, ineffectively or cheaply as possible. And, you know, you got to work with that. But you should have some people on your crew who know what they're doing.
And always with good sound.
Always with good sound. I just did a sound workshop. Like, that's a huge, huge part that I think a lot of people forget.
During the introduction, I was saying, you know, I'll go to a movie theater, even if the seats are slightly uncomfortable, please give me good sound.
Yeah.
It's almost the centerpiece of the experience. Mm-hmm. Without that good sound, it's nothing. Minerva, how can people find out more about your festival?
They can go to our website, that is OLA of easternlongisland.org. They could also be checking out our Facebook page, probably a little bit closer to the end of the summer. We're going to start announcing the films that are chosen.
Okay, and Patricia, it's as you were mentioning, it's coming up soon, right? So if someone wants to be part of this, what do they have to do?
They can sign up and register a team. Again, it's on our website as well, which is just www.48hourfilm.com. You could /New Haven to get to our page specifically. You can also sign up on our Facebook page, has the same button that will link you to the website.
And where do the winners end up going?
We screen all the films at the Strand. The best of winners will screen at the Bijou. The top winner then represents New Haven, screening against all the films from around the world. And 12 of those films go on to screen at Cannes. Two New Haven films have screened at Cannes.
I might be giving you a buzz on Monday. So, sounds great. Patricia Clark, producer of the 48-Hour Film Project in New Haven. Patricia, thank you.
Thank you.
Minerva Perez, executive director of OLA of Eastern Long Island. OLA runs the Latino Film Festival of the Hamptons. Minerva, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
I want to welcome to the show Anne Chasson, who's the executive director at the Hamptons International Film Festival, and Valerie Lorimer, the coordinator of the Greater New Milford Film Festival and chair of the New Milford Film Commission. Welcome both. It's nice to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
And it's going to be what, the 27th annual festival this year?
Yes, our 27th year.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Goes by in a blink, doesn't it?
It seems to. But it was here long before I was, so it still seems in its infancy to me.
Tell us about the festival for those who haven't attended.
Absolutely. So we started, as you so aptly pointed out, 27 years ago. The year was 1993, and we felt that the region, which had, meaning the Hamptons itself on the South Fork of Long Island, had so many people in media and in entertainment and theater and actors and et cetera who lived in the area, that it was worthy of its own showcase of cinema. So the mission at the time and still to this day is that we like to bring voices, a varied spectrum of international films and filmmakers to our audiences. We know that we have a pretty cinephile audience who is interested in all kinds of stories from everywhere, and we wanted to make sure that we brought a global perspective as well as new voices so people could enjoy films and talk to each other and get inspired and hopefully move to make the organization a year-round place where people could celebrate the art of filmmaking. And that's what we are today.
And that's interesting because most film festivals are usually, what, 3-4 days or so, and you're talking about doing this year-round.
That's right. We do currently. We have for about the last 15 years had year-round programming. Our name belies that fact currently, but we are a 5-day film festival. The annual film festival is our premier event, which happens in October, but we are actually doing something all year round.
How do you choose the films?
Well, we have a wonderful call for submissions that goes out worldwide. We have an artistic director named David Nugent, and he and his programming team, and then a voracious group of young and very excited screeners who become part of that programming team all cull through about 3,500 submissions and ultimately bring about 150 feature length and short films to the film festival itself.
You said 3,500?
3,500, yes.
Okay. That's a lot.
Our summer is not quite spent in the sun, unfortunately.
Valerie Lorimer is the coordinator of the Greater New Milford Film Commission and the chair of the New Milford Film Commission. Valerie, when you hear something like what's taking place out in the Hamptons, is that something you would aspire to?
Well, I'll tell you what. A few years ago, as the chair of the Film Commission, I said to my team, my other commission members, I said, you know, I would love to create an event that gave our local artists an opportunity to show their work. And they said, that's a great idea, Valerie. So I put it in the paper, and the local movie theater, the woman who runs that, Tara Ewers, saw that and said, let's do it. So she and I and a couple of other people in town here put that together with that intention. And it's gone swimmingly. This is we're going into our fourth year to do this. Do we want to do international? Well, perhaps. But mostly our focus is on our local artists. We do shorts as one of our events. Also, we include the Manhattan shorts, Manhattan Film Festival shorts. That's one of our events that we do as well that week. Ours lasts about a week in the beginning of October, 5 days or so. And we aspire to do different events for, you know, to attract as large of an audience as possible. And so that's what we do.
How many participants do you have?
Do you mean like local artists?
Yes.
Well, we usually have, like, we screen the movies, of course. We usually have about 10, between 8 and 10 entries that are shorts. And this year, we're not quite sure how we're going to fit this in, but we have three local artists that have done feature-length films. And two of them have made it to Amazon/Netflix. So somehow we're going to get at least one of them in this year, as well as our shorts.
Hmm.
And I don't know, we're pretty excited about that.
And do you have many local artists?
Yes, we do. We're, 72 miles from Times Square or so. So we have a lot of people that, like, actually live here and commute back and forth to New York. And we're blessed to have so many professionals and or semi-professionals that sit on the commission and, you know, influence you know, the people that we attract, the filmmakers that we attract to our area. So, yeah, we actually have, you know, quite a following here.
And I'm assuming that you're blessed by a lot of local talent who just normally live in the Hamptons or at least vacation there. Do you have a lot of support?
Oh, that's for me, Anne. Yes.
Yes,
absolutely. We have a board of about 30 wonderful people who are locals. One's a retired school teacher, for example, and all the way up to the chairman of our board, co-chairman, I should say, who is Alec Baldwin. So there are studio heads and actors and producers who populate that board. But to us, it's just as important to have local voices involved in the festival because at their heart, even though we're quote-unquote an international film festival, film festivals at their heart are community events. They are there for the people who live there, for them to gather and treat it as an event, which is exciting for everyone to attend. As many people know, the Hamptons encompasses not one village, but anywhere from West Hampton to Montauk. So it's stretching over a 45-mile area, and we actually showcase films and events in all of those villages along the way. So the economic impact of A, having people who just live there going from village to village and spending and eating and shopping and doing retail. We also bring in about 30,000 visitors to the area with a pretty hefty economic impact.
I was just going to ask you about that. And so since you already answered it, Valerie, economic impact on your area in the greater New Milford area?
Yeah, well, we do a few things. primarily the money that we make goes, you know, the majority of it goes to scholarships for high school kids that are going to go into some element of production, whether it's, you know, actually acting or camera, directing, producing, makeup artists, et cetera, music. Whatever the venue is that they pick, they are eligible in the surrounding communities as well as New Milford to apply for the scholarship. And that's been going very well. The children that are receiving the scholarships are really going gangbusters. And you know what, as a group of people, we're very proud of these particular students that are going on. So as far as like how do we make money as a community, much like what Ann said, is that, you know, the arts attract people to come in and spend time in New Milford and spend money. The different vendors and stores and restaurants here. Also, part of what we do is we sell advertisement space in our program to raise money for the festival. And people who pay to advertise also receive advertising space at the theater. So when you go and watch a movie, part of the ad space are the vendors that actually buy space and donate to the film festival. So that, you know, so they get a return as well.
Mm-hmm. And we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. What is it about the movies that inspires such passion?
Do you mean?
Well,
like,
I think if you are a movie fan, you know, film is subjective. So you look to seek out, I think one who is passionate about movies looks to seek out films that challenge that perception of what they think they know or what they think they love. And what I adore about what this film festival can do is we bring in stories with differing opinions, specifically to challenge our audiences in ways that they never expected to be challenged. And we, because we have so much to program, we also filter our programming into very particular sections. For example, we have partnered for many years, I think it's almost 20, with the Suffolk County Film Commission in order to do a Views from Long Island section. So much like what Valerie is doing with focusing on local artists, we also showcase films, feature films, documentaries, short films from people who have made films about the area, who are in the area, who are from the area. We also do a whole environmental tract called Air, Land, and Sea, which we started a couple of years back. We have a track of animal rights films. We have an international tract of films about movies about conflict and resolution areas. Specifically to keep those conversations alive. As we know, there's always conflict in many areas of the world happening at the same time. And then we also do spotlight films and big centerpiece films of sort of the Oscar hopefuls that are coming up for the next year. As a matter of fact, the Hamptons Film Festival is the only film festival in the world that has played the Oscar-winning Best Picture for the last 9 years.
Mm.
Kind of a crazy stat. But there's something for everyone, and that is what we love about it. And the other thing about film is that it is accessible to everyone. It's still one of the least expensive arts events one can attend. So it's still a bit affordable for the whole family.
Anne Chasson, who's the executive director of the Hamptons International Film Festival, and Valerie Lorimer, the coordinator of the Greater New Milford Film Festival and the chair of the New Milford Film Commission. Thank you both. I appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you for having us.
The Ridgefield Independent Film Festival is in beautiful Ridgefield, Connecticut, and Megan Smith-Harris is the festival director, and Bill Harris is the GM, the general manager of the Ridgefield Independent Film Festival. And Alan Inkles is joining us on the phone. He's the director of Stony Brook's Stoller Center, and he's here to tell us about the Stony Brook Film Festival. Welcome all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Nice having us on, Ron.
Megan, Bill said you should do most of the talking today because he said you're the brains behind the festival.
Well, we've also been married for 21 years. So
Well, 21 wonderful years.
How long has the festival been around?
The festival started in 2016 by a local playwright and film lover named Joanne Hudson. And we took it over last year. And Bill and I have way too many decades of experience in film and television, and so and are filmmakers ourselves, and wanted to be part of this. So we've tried to take it in, you know, build on the foundation that they started and take it to a whole new level. And we are now, I'm very proud to say, in the top 100 of Film Freeway's best reviewed film festivals in the world. And there are 7,000 film festivals, so we're in the top 1.5%.
When does this take place, Bill?
It's in October. We actually are expanding to 5 days this year over the Columbus / Indigenous holiday weekend. So that's really exciting. We get to put in a few more films. We get to have a day of festival winners. Mm-hmm. And of course, we play at many venues around town. So it's kind of interesting. Megan was talking about how we got involved. A previous film we had actually was entered into Ridgefield. Little did we know a year later
you could end up running
that
it,
we'd
huh?
end up running the festival. So it was
life is weird sometimes.
Well, I'm not a big believer in fate, but serendipity certainly plays a part in it. Yeah.
Alan, tell us a little bit about the Stony Brook Film Festival. How many years now?
Well, I think I'm going to warn one of my filmmakers this year that they may be running this festival next year, so they better be careful what they say and do this year. I started this 24 years ago. You know, I'm the director of the Arts Center at Stony Brook, and we were doing an international theater festival, and I thought, this has got to be easier. Let's show movies. And, of course, 24 years later, I miss all those theater productions I brought in from all around the world. It takes a village, and I applaud the work our Ridgefield folks are doing. And, you know, it takes a village to make it work, and we've built it up over the years. We have a 1,000-seat theater. We play in our big theater. We keep it all in one venue. That's changed over the years. When we first started, we used 5 theaters in our building. We've got them, you know, for live program we do during the year. But we found that it's summer. It's Long Island. We've got a 40-foot screen, a great digital projection. Let's play to our strengths. And over the years, we developed, you know, doing less and less films because we want to play it at night. We don't want these crazy 9 a.m. screening times on summer on Long Island. You know, get the barbecue done, close it up, and come to us at night. So we've sort of narrowed it down to 30 to 40 films of the 3,000 to 4,000 entries we get. And we've just grown it. You know, we've got, I was reading a little bit with the Ridgefield folks about being filmmaker friendly. That's very important. You know, we put people up in a great hotel. We treat them right. We show their film, you know, by itself, one at a time, a short and a feature together most of the time. And we fly these people in, we put them up, and we treat them the way they need to be treated. And a lot of them have gone on to bigger films. You know, when you do this for 24 years, people come back, you see them get successful, you see the films get picked up for distribution, and you create a great family. So it's really been a lot of fun. My team has really jumped in. They, you know, they're all my team for the year from programming live shows. They turn their hats around and they become hospitality directors and transportation directors and print traffic coordinators. But it's been a really great run.
Everybody washes the bottles, right?
Everyone, absolutely. Yeah, I'm there right now doing it, right? Getting ready.
Yeah, just getting ready. Megan, what is unique about the Ridgefield Film Festival?
Well, I think, as we just heard, it's a very filmmaker-friendly festival. We have incredible talkbacks. I am a documentary filmmaker by trade, so I love doing interviews. When I go to film festivals, I find that a really enriching experience. You have to give people a reason to leave their homes, to leave their devices, because they can watch movies on any...
Anywhere, anytime.
Exactly. So we try to keep the prices really affordable. We try to provide something for everyone. We have family-friendly shorts. We have animation. We have a LGBTQ section called Alt Night. We have Psych Night. We have we're very strong on documentaries. We had 18 feature-length documentaries last year. We had 103 films, 72 shorts. But we had some terrific films, and we really are aggressive about going after people that we really want to come and share their stories and their talents. And I think the town is so culturally vibrant already. It's the quintessential New England town.
It's
so,
a beautiful town for those who haven't been to Ridgefield. It is gorgeous.
Great restaurants, great parks, great venues for everything. And we actually don't have a single home, you know, as other film festivals do. So we are in various venues, and we have tried to turn that into a strength, which allows people, it's all walkable, and people can really explore the other parts of Ridgefield. So I think it's also in the fall, which is great for the fall leaves and going, you can still sit outside and have a glass of wine and a bowl of pasta, and it's a great town.
Do a little leaf peeping and watch a movie.
Well, in fact, Ron, one of the things that's really great about Ridgefield and the festival is that, you know, our mission is really to embrace the community and really take films. You know, our tagline are films that inspire. So we take a lot of films that you don't often see out to the community. So we do the library and the theater barn and the playhouse and Keeler Tavern and a bunch of other local venues. So it's really great. And then beyond that, I'm also happen to be a very proud an adjunct and, in fact, newly minted artist in residence here at Sacred Heart University in the media. And communications department, and specifically the master's program in film. So we do a lot of community outreach and a lot of, in terms of our partnerships with the Connecticut office.
The Connecticut Office of Film, Television, and Digital Media has been a really big supporter. We're very grateful
for that.
And
some other organizations, but SHU is even, they underwrote one of our big social justice films last year, which is by a Connecticut filmmaker, Say Your Name, which is a film about Sandra Bland's story. And this year, we're lighting up two new screenwriting competitions. One of them is a script-to-stage screenwriting competition, which is sponsored and underwritten by the International Screenwriters Association. And the other is a script-to-screen, which is really an extension of what we do in the master's program. Sacred Heart is underwriting that. To the tune, actually, they're going to offer a $25,000 production services package to the winning script, and we will produce that film over the course of the year to premiere the following festival.
And we also offer cash awards to filmmakers as previous filmmakers ourselves. It's a very expensive profession, and you have to spend a lot of money entering film festivals, traveling to them, and so we like to help out a little bit and offer cash awards in every category.
Alan, that brings up a point. How does a filmmaker distinguish him or herself from the rest of the field when so many people seem to be making really good films nowadays? How do you stand out?
It's so enlightening hearing both Megan and Bill talk about it, because obviously you're talking about filmmakers, and filmmakers, over the years I've spent time talking with them here, and it's the reason we could be sister festivals, because we our philosophies.
Done.
Let's book together. We seem to have very similar philosophies, and I think, you know, it's about the filmmaker and it's about the audience. That's all that matters. You know, forget about everything else that's here. You want to bring in audiences to see films they can't see anywhere else.
Exactly.
And you want to bring in films and filmmakers that feel like they really matter. You know, I've been to those festivals, and my gosh, the two of you have been too also, being at festivals where you're not that it film. And, you know, you're left at the airport, and you're trying to find your way in, and you've got to put the cards out. I mean, the filmmakers call and they say, you know, we want to send you cards. We'll put them out during the day. And I said, you don't need to do that. I have a marketing team that does that. Get out here, enjoy the hotel, come out here and do a Q&A, talk with my audience, have a great time, and enjoy your screening here. So, you know, I have found, and, you know, we're involved in the Freeway too, the film Freeway also, like the Ridgefield folks. We also have a lot of contacts over the years. You can't do this for 24 years, be successful, and not make friends in 55 countries. So I get films that come from all over the world, from sales agents and distributors. I have found, certainly, the quality has gotten better in the last few years. There's a lot more films out there, too, as we know, because everyone can be a filmmaker today. You get a camera and you're a filmmaker. Not quite, but they think they are. But, you know, it takes that special film. You know, when you're watching films and 2 in the morning looking at films and trying to, they jump out at you. You know, it's got a great feeling to it, whether it's the acting or directing or it speaks to you. And we do also documentaries and narratives, you know, comedies and dramas. We tend to be a very narrative festival. I think, you know, when you have a 1,000-seat theater, the audiences want a good story, so we tend to be driven by that. But we have some animation and some documentaries and experimental films, but we're really driven by a really good story. So if it's well made and it's a good story and it's got, you know, good directing and acting, I always say the acting's got to be strong. If you present a film that doesn't have good acting in it, either the director doesn't know what good acting is and that's a problem, or didn't spend the time to find good actors. And as filmmakers, our colleagues from Ridgefield know that you may have to look a little harder for it, but obviously there are actors looking to be on your role. They need that B-roll. So you should find them and make that work. And you find these gems that really jump out at you, and it's a great discovery process. We'll do a few distributor films that are opening up in the fall because we want them to look in at our festival and take a look at other films we've got here. But we're really about discovery. We want to show films that don't have distribution yet that might be that next film that gets picked up. But that's, you know, and then we'll help them along the way. You know, we don't stop once the film's shown here. Then working with them and trying to help them get distribution to filmmakers, or work with them when they do get picked up to help their platform releases. So we know it's important. The filmmakers love us. They come back here. And we've gotten some big films over the years. And we have some actors that come out. We've got the Jeff Daniels who will probably come out for the film we have this year. Guest artists. We're expecting Aaron Paul for the film we have closing the weekend. What is the name of that film? I just was looking at it, of course.
That's okay. It's Alan. I'm almost out of time. So what I'm going to do
is the part you lose. Okay. We're not about that. We're really about showing really good films, and it's great when talent comes, but that's not really what we're about. We're about showing great films to our community.
Alan, thank you. Meg, you're going to have the last word here. So for the final 30 seconds.
Just like our marriage.
That's the basis of a healthy marriage, as long as you get the last word. So tell us how people can find out more about your film festival.
Well, go to riffct.org. We have not posted our 2019 films yet, but we will be very soon. We have a really exciting lineup, international films from over 40 countries, and I'm very excited about the programming this year. So it's riffct.org, and if you have any questions, my email's right. If you send an email, it comes right to me, and I will answer within 24 to 48 hours.
Alan, I only have 10 seconds. How can people find out more about the Stony Brook Film Festival?
Well, we're right around the corner. We start July 18th to the 27th, so it's all posted. You can see trailers and information on every film at stonybrookfilmfestival.com. Passes and single tickets are available now.
Alan Enkel, Stony Brook Film Festival. Megan Smith-Harris, Festival Director. Bill Harris, General Manager of the Ridgefield Independent Film Festival. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
It was a pleasure. I hope everyone enjoyed today's show, and we always thank you for being a part of the full story. Today, right now, I'm asking you to be a part of WSHU2, the public radio station that brings you the full story. Listener support from people who depend on WSHU for in-depth news coverage and analysis make the programs that you depend on possible. Please make your contribution now during this very special Newman's Own Foundation Challenge. And here's how to help.